We have been doing a study on the Ten Commandments. Believe if I ask some of you to repeat the Ten Commandments, you may not even know how to repeat. If I ask you, where are the Ten Commandments? Maybe some of you do not even know where they are. But Ten Commandments, is it applied to the New Testament today or not? We studied this in our previous studies. And if it's applied to the New Testament today, are we going to apply to our life or not? These are questions that we need to ask. And that's why we studied that are the Old Testament laws are abolished to the New Testament church today? Some may say yes, some may say no. Some may say half and half to be on the safe side. That's where we studied that, of course, in the Old Testament, basically, you can, for your edification, I write, okay, our whole goal is to study here, right? So, to know the Word of God. You can separate the laws into two sections. Basically, the first one is a ceremonial law. And the second one is what? The moral law. The ceremonial law is abolished. You don't have to do any more ceremonial things to come to the Lord anymore. You don't have to be circumcised to be saved. You don't have to give any kind of atonements to kill a bull or a calf or anything like that for your sins to be taken away. All these ceremonial laws have been fulfilled through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The moral law. Is it here today or no? It is here today. It continues. If you say, all this is not here for the church today, we have been saved by grace, then you can take the entire Old Testament, take a piece of, take a scissors and cut that off, because you don't need it. We need the moral law. The problem today with the church is they don't distinguish between the ceremonial law and the moral law. Usually they say, we are not under the law, and that means they wipe everything off. It's not true. The moral law is still there. It still continues. Now, the summary of the moral law is found in the Ten Commandments. Isn't that why today people have no fear for God? Because they have taken away the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Children have no respect for their parents. Bible says to obey your parents. Why? The church is not teaching the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of lying. It's a lot of murder. A lot of cheating. Why? Get into the Ten Commandments. People have taken it away. And this is where we need to go back to the milk of the Word. And study the Ten Commandments. See what it says. Ten Commandments are rules for us to live our life. Now, what I'm going to do today is something little, actually goes along with the study. We still haven't got into the Ten Commandments yet. We are still laying a foundation. We have been doing that for about 3 weeks. Probably in about 2 weeks' time, we will really get into the Ten Commandments and we will really study it by God's grace. Now, there are many passages in the New Testament that says the believers are not under the law. I'm going to read some of the passages and you're going to read it. So we are going to see when it says in the New Testament some scriptures that say we are not under the law, we need to really see what it means. Because the Bible says we need to what? Diligently study the Word of God. Right? A worker who is not ashamed, but to be approved unto God, that means diligent study. Diligent study means we got to search for the truth. That means it takes time. Okay? So let me give you a scripture. Let's see Romans chapter 6 verse 14. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." That's a good scripture. Does that mean the moral law is not valid today? Or what is Paul saying here? Is he talking about the ceremonial law or the moral law? Or what is he talking here? Now, so that means we need some diligent study on this. We need to know what it means. If you take this scripture, for sin shall have not, you don't have any dominion, you know, sin have no dominion over you. We are all under grace. So, does that mean that we can go and do whatever we wanted? So, what is Paul saying here? Question. Were all the Old Testament believers, were they under grace? I think it's a pretty good question. Are the New Testament believers under grace? I see, Lara. Okay. Were the Old Testament believers under grace? Okay. Some say yes, some say no, some say... Let me tell you. The Old Testament and the New Testament, no matter who you were, before Christ, we were all under the law. That before Christ came to our life, we were all under the law. We were all under sin. So the Old Testament and the New Testament, no matter who you were, we were all under sin. We were all under the law. Because if you read Romans chapter 2, Apostle Paul said the Gentiles are going to be judged by the law. By the law, every mouth will be silenced. That means all sinners are accountable to God. That means the demands of the law must be met by God. Why God gives the law? That means there are demands of the law. You have to obey the law. And it has to be met. All sinners were accountable to God. But the believers are under the covenant of grace. Okay? So I'm going to explain this little by little. For Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Now, Christ came and He represented the believer, and Jesus Christ, we had to fulfill all the law in the Old Testament, but we couldn't fulfill, but Jesus came and He fulfilled the law where we could not perform. So, we are freely justified from the law by the redemption of the blood of Christ. So we are saved by grace alone, and we are freed from the dominion of sin, and we are regenerated from the power of death, and now we are under, not under the covenant of works, we are under the covenant of grace. Now, salvation depended, God gave the law. If you keep all this law, every bit of the law, to every little detail, in your mind, in your words, and in your action, you can attain salvation. You can go to heaven. That means in your mind, in your heart, that means in your words, every word that you have to say is perfect, everything what you think has to be absolutely perfect, every detail has to be perfect, so you have to obey the law by works, right? That is what is called the covenant of works. Adam, God gave Adam and told, do not eat from this tree, if you shall eat, you will die. So that's a covenant of works. So God made a covenant with Adam. It's the same thing with the law. There's works involved. And if, so demands of the law is to, for us to be absolutely perfect. But we couldn't, right? James said even if you, little tiny bit of a law, if you break it, you have broken the whole law. But Christ, did he keep all the law? Yes, he kept. He was sinless. He kept the law to the very detail. He was absolutely holy and pure, and he himself reflected the holiness of God. And Christ, he did it on our behalf. Now, to attain salvation, that means to attain salvation, for salvation, it's not by the law. You understand? It is by grace to attain salvation. That is what Paul is talking here. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That means to attain salvation, it's not by the law, it's through grace. But the moral law still exists, isn't it? And to the Christian, the moral law is a rule for our sanctification. It's a daily rule, it's a daily walk with the Lord. It's for Christian living. We cannot dump the moral law anymore. Because as a result of what Christ did, we still obey the law. The law. Now Christ did not, when Christ came in the New Testament, did he give any new laws? I'm going to go through probably next week on this one. Absolutely not. All the laws that he gave is from the Ten Commandments. I'll give you a new commandment. Love one another. It's in the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor. All those things are in the Ten Commandments. From the Ten Commandments, he gave the law. He didn't give anything new. Let me give you another scripture. We found the answer for Romans 6:14. How about going to Romans chapter 7, verse 6? Romans 7:6 says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. It's another good one. Paul is saying, now, we have been delivered, so we don't have to serve in the oldness of the letter. What does that mean? It is the same as Romans 6:14, basically. There is no difference between the Old Testament believers and the New Testament, because we were all under the covenant of works before Christ came into our life. It means we had to obtain salvation by fulfilling all the Ten Commandments. That's the way to obtain salvation. Every detail of it. But in Romans chapter 7 we see there are two husbands, if you read that. You can remember. There are two husbands. There are one woman being married. Verse 2, you see that. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law. So, in Romans chapter 7, the covenant of works is the first husband. Which the believers, that means, prior to our conversion, okay, before Christ's days. Now we are under a different husband. And that is Christ. Now we serve God not in the covenant of works. That means not way to salvation. It's not through works. But in the newness of spirit. We serve God as a result of Christ's work on the cross. In spirit and in truth. Because now we have a new husband, Christ. He took all the punishment. We are the sinner. Huh? This is Christ. So what happened on the cross was all our sins, when we trust in Christ, all our sins were transferred to Christ's account. He became the sinner. He was absolutely holy and righteous. He became the sinner. Christ was absolutely holy and righteous. His holiness, His righteousness is transferred to our account. As Christ being the sinner, sinner deserves what? The wrath of God. So God poured His wrath on Christ. Now we have a new husband as Christ Jesus. We serve Him in the newness of the Spirit. So we are delivered from the curse of the law. We are delivered now. Understand? So we are justified by Christ because He imputed His holiness, His righteousness to us. Let's take another scripture where some people may point out. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. Galatians 3, 23 to 25. It says here, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we no longer under a tutor. Well, some of your Bibles may say that, before faith came, we were kept under the law. We were shut up unto the faith, and which should afterward be revealed. But therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What does that mean? That are we no longer to obey the law anymore? So we need to understand what is the meaning of schoolmaster here. Huh? That's the one that will unlock the whole meaning in this whole scriptures. What is the meaning of the schoolmaster here? Is it referring to the moral law or the ceremonial law? And if somebody says if it is referring to the moral law, how many believe it's referring to the moral law? How many believe it's referring to the ceremonial law? Now let's see if it is, let's just think it is referring to the moral law, okay? In that case, you read now. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under, a schoolmaster. That means we are no longer under the moral law. If you believe that if that is referring to the moral law, it says there, you are no longer under the moral law. Well, does that make sense? Absolutely not. You understand? It is referring to what? To the ceremonial law. That means you can take away all the Ten Commandments. All the commandments where Christ gave, that's also all moral laws. You don't have to live according to any kind of standard. You can just say, well, Christ paid for my sins, and you can live like the devil. That's not what it says there. So it is referring. This is where you need to, the Bible is given, God gave us a brain, right? Why? You don't just read the Bible. You got to think what it says. That's why Bible, God says, a diligent study. It's not just reading. It's just diligently using your brain what you're saying. So that's why we need to really think what we study. Just don't believe. Just think. So we need more thinking Christians. So we need to understand. So that's, we already went through that, right? It's so clear here. Of course, if you read the whole book of Galatians, it was written to the Judaizers. These Judaizers, they trusted in Christ, but later they returned to the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament. That's why Chris read that passage in Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, you know. So they went back to the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. They thought that they can be justified by observing special days, special ceremonies, the circumcision. So they thought that they can be justified by observing by the works of the law. So the ceremonial laws were what? What are the ceremonial? By the way, I heard this word many times today. What does it mean? What are they, you know? Of course, you see a lot of sacrifices and you see a lot of ceremonial laws that you got to really do it, you know. In the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus and so forth like that. Cannot eat pork, huh? Cannot eat that. You got to wear certain kinds of material. You cannot wear cotton and polyester blended together. You cannot shave your cut sideburns. All those are ceremonial laws. God said, keep these laws. So you cannot do that. You cannot do this. Those are ceremonial laws. So the question is, the ceremonial laws, why the ceremonial laws were given? The Old Testament. The ceremonial laws, they were shadows. They were shadows that typified Christ. All the ceremonious laws were the shadows that typified Christ Jesus in the Old Testament. So the ceremonial laws shows perfection. And Christ is the perfection. So they were the shadows that typified the Lord Jesus. So ceremonial laws are important because it points us to who? Christ. It points us to Christ and to believe in Him. So when Christ came in the New Testament, we don't have to go back again to shadows. If you are walking in the sunlight, bright sunlight, you will see your shadow, right? You want to go to the shadow or you want to come to the person? Of course you go to the person. So you don't have to go back to the shadows anymore. So here in Galatians, where was that scripture? Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, when it says, but before faith came, says there, but before faith came, what does that mean? Was not faith in the Old Testament? Did faith come only in the New Testament? Well, it says here, but before faith came, when did the faith come? See that? Before faith came, we were under the law. Think about it. So did faith come in the New Testament? Well, confusing. Pray, study diligently what it means. So we need to understand that faith did not come in the New Testament because faith was also exercised in the Old Testament. But when it refers here, before faith came, what does that mean? It refers to the object of faith. It refers to the object of faith. It refers to the object of faith, to Christ. They were looking in advance to the future. To Christ, who was going to come in flesh. Our faith is, it's an object. Our object is Christ. He is the one. Okay? So, it's really referring to the object of faith, to Christ, who was going to come in the flesh. So, the ceremonial law was a guide, was an instructor, was a teacher, leading us to Christ Jesus. Let's see Galatians 5:18. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Well, that's a short sentence. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, this is where a lot of people can take scriptures like this, here, there, out of context, and say, well, we're not under the law anymore. So I can drink what I want to. I can do anything that I want to. Because I believe in Christ, and I'm saved. I'm under grace. But you can take scriptures here and there. This is where we need to study the scriptures diligently. So when it says that, but if we are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. To say that we are under the law means we are not under the covenant of works. That means you are justified. Just, what do you mean by justified? I heard that word many times today. What do you mean by justified? Justified means it's a court word. It's a word that you hear in the courthouse. It's a legal word. We are justified or we are made righteous by, it's not by observing the law or by keeping all the law and becoming obedient. It is impossible for us to do that. So, because for us to be righteous, to be justified, you know, let's put it in a simple way so we can understand. God is holy, right? He is righteous, right? Okay. What about us here on earth? Unholy, right? Unrighteous, right? Everything un, right? So, for you to go to heaven, can you go with your unholiness and unrighteousness to be with the holy God? Absolutely not. You need to be holy. You need to be righteous. Now, can I have 95% holiness to be here? You need to be 100% because God is 100% holy. How can I have that? How can I go to heaven? There's no way. 10 commandments, obey all the commandments in the Old Testament to the minute detail. And if you do that, you can go. But we cannot never do that. Absolutely not. Jesus said, even if you look at a woman, lust in your heart. You have committed adultery. Even if you get angry with your brother, you have committed murder. How many times you had to steal to become a thief? Just once. How many times you had to tell a lie to become a liar? Just once. So, you're a thief, a liar. How many times you had to look at a woman with lust to become an adulterer? Just once. So, we are liars, thieves, adulterers. The picture is pretty bad. How can you go? It's impossible for us to go. We need perfect obedience. So, all the Old Testament saints, Old Testament and the New Testament, people, God requires. He wants us to give an account to all what we do. That means all our works. God is going to justify. He is going to declare that we are righteous by our works. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, 12. It says here, and I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works. God is going to judge us according to our works. According to our deeds. God has given everybody. God has given the law. Even the Gentiles who doesn't have the law, it's written in their heart, in their conscience. They know what is good and bad. So God is going to judge every single person according to the works, the covenant of works. It's pretty scary. It's a bad picture. That's the bad news. That the judgment is going to come. So we are all under the covenant of works because God is perfect. And if he is perfect, his law is perfect, right? So, the score, we cannot get 99% here to go to heaven. 98% won't do. We need to have 100%. That means absolute perfect obedience. So the works of the law, is it a blessing or a curse for us? It's a curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all these things which are written in the books of the law to do them. So, absolutely we cannot go, we need to obey all the commandments 100%. That becomes a curse. When Christ Jesus came, now this is the good news. The gospel is the good news, right? The gospel is called what? The good news. Of course, if there's good news, there got to be what? Bad news. Bad news has to be there for us to understand the good news. The problem is today we don't understand the bad news. So we don't appreciate the good news. But when good news is when Christ came, Christ was subject to the law. He came under the law, born of the woman. He was subject to the law. That's why Christ was circumcised. That's why Christ has to go to baptism. Because he was subject to the law. He was obedient to the law, every minor detail. That's why Christ prayed to the Father and he was obedient to the Father. Because he lived a perfect life according to the law. Jesus said, I did not come to break the law, but to fulfill them. He fulfilled all the demands of the law where we could not obey. He fulfilled the covenant of works. Adam couldn't. That's why Christ is called the last Adam. He was like a living law. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. So of course, to obtain salvation, you need to fulfill all the demands of the law. And God is going to look at you. And if you're not in Christ, he will see you have failed miserably. Don't get 100%, you have failed miserably. But if you are in Christ, you will see you are past 100%. Because I gave that diagram, Christ imputed his holiness, his righteousness to you now. So God will look at you, he sees that you are perfect in Christ. So the law cannot condemn you anymore. That's where Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No more condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says Christ is the end of the law. Romans 10:4. So righteousness of God can be obtained through Christ Jesus. The law was, not terminated. God did not terminate the law with the coming of Christ, but Christ fulfilled the law. So when Romans 10:4 says Christ is the end of the law, it means Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And understand, okay? Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Christ Jesus satisfied the Father with all the law where we could not satisfy. If I tell you, do this, if you're a parent and you tell your children, clean the house, I want you to cook, I want you to clean your bedroom, and I want you to study, do your homework. And when you come back, and you see the house is dirty, and hasn't done the homework, are you satisfied? No. But if your child has really spotlessly cleaned the house, and cooked the food, and done all the homework, are you satisfied? Yes. Now, did you satisfy God by obedience of the law? No. Who satisfied the Father? Christ. Jesus satisfied the Father. So Christ satisfied the demands of the law. He fulfilled it. He placed himself under the law. He took the punishment that, you know, that threatened by the law on our behalf. So, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Also, that means you are not under the covenant of works anymore. Now, can you remember last time I told you about the Shema? What is that? Huh? What is that? Deuteronomy? 6:4. The word Shema means to hear and to obey. After the Ten Commandments, Moses said, God said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Well, that's the Shema, that's the commandment. That means you need to hear and obey. Love the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, with all our strength. And we said, when you say with the heart, it means emotional love, right? Prayer. With the mind, it means what? Intellectual love. That means to study His Word intelligently. And with all your strength, it means your service to the Lord. Everything is involved. But Christ, we couldn't do this. But now Christ came. He did it all for us. How much more we should appreciate the grace. How much more we should love the Lord now. Because we were going to hell, straight road. All, you know, we deserve nothing but the wrath of God. But now Christ did all for us, all these things. How much more we should love the Lord. How much more we should adore Him. How much more we should love Him. How much more we should serve Him. When He did it all for us. How much more we should appreciate His grace. How much more we should stay away from sin. How much more. And we give all the glory and honor to God. All the praise and the adoration belongs to the Lord. We don't deserve anything. So before we get into the Ten Commandments, we need to go through all these, you know, little things that says in the New Testament. We need to understand what the law means, what is the ceremonial law, what is the moral law, what does it mean, you know. We need to teach our children. That's what the Ten Commandments says at the end. We saw that, right? Teach them to your children and to your children's children. And that's why today the whole country is in a mess, because they have taken the basic principles. The Ten Commandments have been taken out. Taken out from the church. Ask anybody. Repeat the Ten Commandments. I don't know. It's a shame. So, let's give all the glory and honor to the Lord. So what you have heard today, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you, and that you will keep it in your heart, and that you will study the Word of God diligently. Let's pray.